This is...
Well, here we are.
Felger.
What?
And Nass.
The whole team sucks.
Felger and Nass.
Maybe your part in the back is a little bit loose.
98.5. The Sports Hub.
A little bit past 8 p.m. Eastern time, DeMarcus Cousins called Golden State, said he was coming. He called it his chess move. He called it his ace that he wanted. He didn't expect to play, but he wanted to play or had to play. And he wouldn't go into what other teams perhaps were involved, but he's super excited to go to the Warriors under the circumstances.
And we are going to start with DeMarcus Cousins. That's Mark Spears of ESPN last night helping to break the news. This is Felger and Maserati here on 98.5 Sports Up, simulcast as always across New England and the country on NBC Sports Boston. Tony Maserati, Big Jim Murray in our Town Fair Tire Studios. I come to you, Felger, here from the, parts unknown, as we like to say. Maz, how you doing today, kid?
Good, you?
Just peachy. Okay, so a couple different angles to the Cousins thing. One is the whole league implications of what kind of league is it, and is it good for the league, bad for the league, and the ridiculousness of loading up there in Golden State. That's a piece that I'd like to get to a little bit later. What I want to get to here off the top is, were the Celtics involved with DeMarcus Cousins? Should they have been involved with DeMarcus Cousins? And is there a second guess here on Danny Ainge and the Celtics? Because I feel like there might be one. What do you think, Maz?
Okay, so do I think they were involved? Yep. Should they have been involved? Nope. And look, between this and Dwight Howard, when we were having that discussion, I told you, I don't want anything to do with those guys. I feel like the Celtics have built this culture here now of, and when I say culture, I mean of guys who give a damn. Like, to me, that's one of the real good things about the group of players they have. Their players care. Aside from the fact that they're good, they care. So you're going to bring in somebody like that, and look, they clearly feel they are at some sort of stage now where they can take on guys with attitude problems because their core is so good that they can handle it. And I don't think they're quite there yet in terms of being able to take on a guy like that. I think it's a guy like that is only asking for problems. And I'm starting to wonder about the direction they're headed in there in terms of what kind of guys they want to bring in, because to me, that's one of the key principles for them building the way they are now.
Maz, when you say you think they were involved, is that informed speculation? You've been talking to people?
I've been trying. I haven't had any luck. But, do I think they were there? Yeah, because I think, like most people, they like a deal. That's what I think.
Jay Stu, what do you believe?
I think they were in on Cousins. I don't know or believe that they were in on Cousins. I don't want to... I got to choose my terminology carefully, because I might be in the dark right now. So I think they were in on Cousins. I don't think they should have been in on Cousins. I'm with Maz on this one. You have a good culture here. You have a good program here. And you've been preaching this program and the coach and the system and all this stuff. And now you're after DeMarcus Cousins? You're better than that. You as the Celtics are better than that. You should be better than that.
No, they're not. They just drafted a guy who's a complete a-hole who was late for his first 2 days of work. This is a fallacy, just like the Patriot way, and talent trumps trouble in that league. That's the NBA. They should have been in on him. I wish that they got him.
Okay, so the reporting is this. Chris Haynes, who is that, Jimmy, for ESPN?
So Chris Haynes works for ESPN, and he was the one who reported that the Celtics were in on him. He was also the first national reporter to report the Celtics had Gordon Hayward. So I take what he says very seriously with regard to the Celtics.
Thank you. Who does he cover? Because he doesn't feel like they're one of their national guys.
I think he's based out of Fresno, California.
Okay. Either way, he was the one that last night said ESPN sources, DeMarcus Cousins, had narrowed down his choices to Golden State and Boston. Okay, that's been followed up today. Adam Himmelsbach in the Boston Globe says on Tuesday morning, a league source said the Celtics never offered Cousins a contract. When Boston's brass got wind that Cousins might have some interest in joining their team, the source said, they reached out to Cousins' representatives to gauge it, but by that time they were told he had already decided to join Golden State. Furthermore, I'll give you one more. Chris Mannix tweeted today that he wouldn't overstate. Okay, his tweet says, wouldn't overstate DeMarcus Cousins' interest in Boston. Cousins' camp alerted Boston to a potential interest in signing there, per source, but the deal with Golden State was wrapped up before the Celtics made an offer. Okay, so here's my take. Whether you think the Celts should be in on him or not, we can debate all day. Okay? I'm leaning towards they should. But either way, the part that's second guessable is that if they were interested and they got in too late, and Jones was just doing this, but he's right. If they were interested but got in there too late after the die was cast, well, who should feel good about whether you wanted the guy or not? Like, that's – what are you doing? Did you want him or not?
Well, so look, I mean, I think they wanted him. I do. I'm glad they didn't get him. To me, the second guess is, why are they all of a sudden departing from one of their core, you know, core beliefs and core tenets when it comes to bringing in players?
Well, let's put that to a side for a second.
Yeah, but
put that to the side for a second.
Okay, go.
If they really wanted him, how did they not even get to a contract offer? Because basically everything I just read you all has elements of truth. I mean, Haynes can be right and Himmelsbach can be right. I don't think Haynes ever said that the Celtics formally offered a contract, but that doesn't mean they didn't tell him that, yeah, you know, we'll take you and we'll work out the money. So, I mean, the Celtics could have expressed interest without, you know, putting a contract out there. If they really wanted the guy, they could offer more money. And, Maz, it just feels like they got there too late. Which, I mean, how is that excusable?
Well, so it's not. I mean, again, look, I don't know the whole timeline, though. And when I say that, I mean, you know, Cousins has Golden State and Boston. Then the Celtics say, oh, all right, well, thanks for reaching out. You know, now we'll call back and he's already gone. So maybe, I don't know, maybe he didn't want to come here. Maybe ultimately it was Golden State first and Golden State wanted him and that was the end of that. So, look, I'm telling you, I don't have a huge... I don't like the player. I'm more worried about the decision-making going on and what types of players they're now looking at.
Okay, Dwight so Howard, now get to that.
Dwight Howard, the draft pick, this guy? Like, why all of a sudden are these guys appealing to them when they weren't appealing to them in the past?
Okay, so, I mean, I'll answer for you. And that is, well, in the past when they were talking about these guys, you were talking about giving up Brooklyn picks. I mean, in the past, it was always, we always debated DeMarcus Cousins. Do you give up those lottery picks? And if you bring in DeMarcus Cousins at that time, he's a multi-year player, going to be a max player, a foundational piece on your team. This is a one-year rental. This is a one-year rental who's gone. This is, you know, this is Randy Moss, Corey Dillon. Now, those turned into more than 1 year, but you understand what I mean.
Sure.
This is, he comes in as a sidecar.
It's a good deal. Yeah, it's a
It's not just that it's a good deal. It's what role is he? When you're bringing him in 2 years ago, Maz, he's a foundational piece. He's your best player. He's your lead dog. Now he comes in, and he's on a one-year rehab contract, and that's a whole different thing, don't you think?
Well, sure it is. But again, so then it's not about the guy. It's about the arrangement.
Yes.
And I don't believe in that. I look at that. Now, there are certain guys I take flyers on. This guy is not one of them. I just think this guy's a bum. He's talented, but he's a dog. He just lumbers up and down the court. He does not give a flying fish. He doesn't care. So I don't want it. And I think Dwight Howard's the same kind of animal. I don't want anything to do with him either. And I just think that guys like that kill teams. They kill teams. And I'm surprised at the draft pick I get. Like, okay, you're picking number 27. You got to take someone. What are you going to get there? You might as well take a shot. Maybe you get him in and it turns. But DeMarcus Cousins, hopeless case. Hopeless.
Maz and Stu, Jones said today that if you switch Cousins from the Warriors to the Celtics, that the Celtics give the Warriors a go in the finals, that almost evens the playing field between the two teams. Do you agree or disagree with that?
I disagree.
I disagree with Jones as well.
Okay, let me just, again, qualify it. If Cousins is healthy and engaged, healthy and playing hard, does that even the playing field?
But it's close. Yeah, it's close.
So why wouldn't you take that chance for a year?
Because I don't think you just said...
Because of the culture.
No. Forget the culture. You just said if he's engaged and playing hard. Not possible.
Well, and if he's not, you pull him out of there.
Okay, I don't want him at all. I'm not wasting my time. The guy's a waste of time. I want nothing to do with him. He's a waste of time. Waste of time.
Perfect rental. And the perfect kind of guy you should be taking a chance on in these conditions, which are your foundation is set, your core is set, you've got a whole team going forward. He is someone that comes here on a one-year rental. You sell him on being able to prove more here than in Golden State. If he's trying to set up his free agent year next year, I think he's got more to gain, more to lose too, but more to gain coming here. and you bang it for 1 year, you stretch Golden State as far as you can stretch it, and then you wave bye-bye to the guy. That's the kind of guy you should be taking a chance on. Why do you have the coach and the culture if not to be able to absorb a guy like that?
Yeah, but it's not just the culture. It's also that he's a bum. He doesn't try. He doesn't give you an honest effort. I don't think the guy's reliable. Like, we're going to assume all of a sudden he shows up in shape? But last year when they played this team and we saw him lumbering up and down the floor with New Orleans, one of the first things you said was, wow, that guy's got bad body language, man. He's got as bad a body language as there is in the NBA.
A total bow wow.
I'd want nothing to do with a guy like that. Nothing.
But you take the chance because the upside is there. And there, you have now see that the circumstances of, and you know what I used to say, bring me the a-hole, because you desperately needed the talent, so you had to take a chance on a guy like that. Now you don't as a foundational piece. So if you're telling me, you know, trade an asset for DeMarcus Cousins, no way. Give him multiple years at max money, no way. I'm not doing any of that. 1 year, one of these mid-level exceptions that, you know, stretches out Golden State in the finals, and if he's bumming around here, if he's being pulling his dog act, yeah, shut him down, you blow him out of here. Like, I don't know. I thought you'd be in a position to do that sort of thing. You should be in a position to do that sort of thing.
Go ahead.
And the worst part of all is that I think they were thinking that way. And you agree. You think that they were really in on him and were interested in that sort of role, and they got to him too late? They got to him too late. I mean, that's what Himmelsbach reported. Again, we don't know what's exactly true and what's not. But when Boston's brass got wind that Cousins might have some interest in joining the team, the source said, they, meaning the Celtics, reached out to Cousins' agents to gauge it. But by that time, they were told he had already decided to join Golden State. Well, where was the call 2 days ago if you were interested in this?
Well, so again, maybe they didn't have interest in him until he had interest in them. At which point, like, again, it becomes about the deal.
I'm with you on that. Like, I mean, either it's on your terms or it's not. You want the guy or you don't. He's too radioactive of a guy to sit there and say, well, only if the price is right. I'm like, you've got to commit to that whole plan and that whole gamble and not just sit there and say, well, if he comes for five and not eight or five or not six, like, he's not that kind of guy. You've got to be all in on that. And then if you are, go get him.
Yeah, I told you. I'm starting to wonder about what direction they're going in there. And when I say what direction they're going in, because it feels to me like the guys that they've been interested in, and I get it, they're all good deals. Dwight Howard, potentially, DeMarcus Cousins now, and Williams, the draft pick, has got all kinds of attitude problems, clearly. He can't even show up on time.
Yeah,
for crying out loud.
His plane leaves yet? Has he got on the plane?
I mean, so now look, again, the draft pick I'll allow for. You have a pick. You have to use it. You're number 27 in the first round. Like, okay, we'll take a shot. And it's a kid. He's not going to come in with any sort of attitude, I don't think. And if he does, he gets buried, and that's the end of him. It's over. But DeMarcus Cousins, I've been consistent on Cousins, as you know. I think the guy's a dog. I think he's a bum. I want nothing to do with him. Nothing.
You're all loaded up. What do you think? DeMarcus Cousins to the Celtics. Were they in on him? Should they have been in on him? Your thoughts right after these words.
This is Felger and Mazz
on 98.5,
the Sports Hub.
Every afternoon, Felger and Mazz bring you the science of sports.
Stupid me.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Bring me the a-hole.
Bring me the a-hole.
Bring me the a-hole.
Bring me the a-hole.
Yes, bring us the a-hole. We need him.
Bring me the a-hole.
Servants?
Yes, sire.
Bring me the a-hole.
We want the a-hole man, DeMarcus Cousins.
All right, so, Maz, unlike you, I have gone back and forth on Cousins. When we did that bit, that was maybe 2 years ago now. I wanted him because you had no talent. And when I say no talent, like, I thought your talent was overrated. You didn't have foundational players. So bring me the a-hole. You got to take chances when you don't have elite foundational players. So you take chances. Bring me the a-hole. Then I went to a spot where it's like, well, no. Now you've got foundational players. Now you've got Kyrie Irving and Jason Tatum coming. And you don't need to take a chance on DeMarcus Cousins. So forget it. I don't need the a-hole. Now I've gone back on the other side because the a-hole is not coming at max money. He's not costing you anything. It's one of these exceptions, these mid-level exceptions. It's a one-year rental, and then see you later. It's totally on your terms. So now I'm back to bring me the a-hole. So I have gone back and forth.
Yeah, so, and again, you're entitled to your opinion. I'm just telling you, I think this guy's a bum. And so I think he's a losing player. And I just don't, so I don't value the talent of this guy all that much either. I acknowledge that he has it, but he doesn't know how to use it. And so what good is that? Like, you know, to me, he's a waste of talent. That's what it is. Every once in a while, he wants to play and he has a big night, but he's not a competitive guy and he doesn't care.
Okay, folks, your thoughts. Lead off with Green Mountain Luke in Vermont. How you doing, Luke?
Good. Mad, you just hit it right on the head. Everything you said about him is true. Imagine what DeMarcus Cousins is going to do when they say, just go rebound and protect the rim. He'll be willing to take on a role like that. Draymond Green is going to punch him in the head probably a week into it. Don't forget, he's coming off one of the worst injuries in all of sports with that Achilles. It is a good deal for Golden State. I agree. It's a good deal. Low risk. But he's the Albert Haynesworth of the NBA.
Okay. See, is it a good risk for Golden State? I mean, aren't they head and shoulders even without him? Like, I think he makes more sense for you than Golden State.
See, I think they're worried about the Lakers. That's what I think. I think they're worried about LeBron now. And so, you know, they said, well, where are we vulnerable? We're vulnerable in the middle. Let's take a shot. Like, I think that all of a sudden LeBron's in the conference and it's something they have to acknowledge and they have to take stock of. So they take a gamble. And look, for them, I get it. I don't think it's going to work. It's worth a shot, but I'm telling you, I don't believe in the player. I don't. I think he's a bum.
Danny and Taunton, your thoughts. Daniel, Taunton. Okay, babe, you can call us back. You do know the number. Sean in Marlboro joins us next. Hi, Sean.
Hey, guys. I think there's two things that you need to look at. First is the talent and on the court. And for $5 million, if he doesn't work out, you just get rid of him. There's really not a downside. And for Golden State, like, they can just use him like a left-handed specialist in baseball where you just use him for mismatches. As far as the money goes, the NBA salary cap is my absolute least favorite thing in sports.
That's crazy.
Golden State is paying $20 million this year for DeMarcus Cousins. $5 million for his salary and $15 million or more is going towards the penalty, but they don't care. The owner's still making hundreds of millions of dollars, and now next year in the offseason, they can re-sign him for whatever they want and still keep everyone else because you can re-sign your own guys and it doesn't matter. And you can just trade whoever you want to another over the cap. Like, the NBA salary cap is the absolute worst thing in sports.
Well, I hate it on a lot of different levels. It's so complicated that, you know, it's hard to really follow as a fan because it's just way too detailed and way too many exceptions and rules. And it's crazy. Never mind that it's a soft cap, so you can really get around it. But that's not really the problem in the league. Maz and I have talked about this, and the cap is not to blame for super teams. And really, there's no answer to it. The reason it's gotten so bad is the players are willing to take less. If the players are willing to take less, there's nothing you can do about it as a league or a salary cap. I mean, again, so this is just something you learn by reading these stupid stories, but Golden State signed him for the taxpayer's mid-level. Each team gets a mid-level exception. If you're in the tax, it's 5.3. If you're not in the tax, it's like 8-point-something. So I think the Celtics could have offered him 8-point-something. So with DeMarcus Cousins, if he's willing to leave $3 million on the table, what are you going to do? I mean, the system is set up to help a team like the Celtics over the Warriors when it comes to the cap. Because you can offer him almost twice as much for that mid-level. But if the player is going to say, yeah, I'll leave the $3 million on the table because the shoe money is more valuable to me or the championships are more valuable to my business, then what are you going to do? And teams can offer another year. They can offer more money. And players are leaving it on the table and going somewhere else. There's nothing you can do about it.
Yeah, I hate it. I just, because I think it, you know, it's the opposite of collusion. For crying out loud, it's player collusion is what it's become. And so, but there isn't much that they can do. And the problem is the shoe contracts, because these guys are making astronomical amounts of money from that they can leave $3 million in salary on the table.
See, it doesn't bother me that the players are calling the shots, because, I mean, what do I care at the end of the day as a consumer? I just want a balanced competitive league. So I don't care if it's the owners that are creating the imbalance or it's the players that are creating the imbalance. It all nets out the same to me, right? So why do I care that it's the players doing it versus the teams? I don't. And Jim Murray, I know you've got a thought on this.
Yeah, I have no problem with it at all. I mean, this is the league, and this has also been going on in baseball for the last, I don't know, 5 to 10 years. I don't hear people bitching about that, especially Red Sox fans who signed J.D. Martinez for relatively short money right before the season started.
Well, hold on. When you say this, what do you mean this has been going on?
I mean, teams stacking themselves and the players having basically all the leverage. Like, you know, if it was just simply about, you know, trying to keep a level playing field throughout the league, then Chris Sale would have signed somewhere like Kansas City. You know, like, it's... I have no issue with it at all. Like, people get their backs up so much about this that DeMarcus Cousins has now stacked everything so heavily for the Golden State Warriors. Like, they have to have Adam Silver come in and step in and change this. Like, no, this is the way it is. I don't understand why people don't ultimately side more with the players, because I would think if you were in their shoes, you would want it this way. You'd want to go to the best place available for either the money or give yourself the best chance to actually win a ring. I never had a problem with what Kevin Durant did last year, a couple of years ago.
See, I did.
Oh, I do too. But only because it creates such an imbalance, and that's not a good product for me as a consumer. I just don't care whether it's the players doing it or the owners doing it. It's just either way, it nets out to really not a good league. I mean, I mean that's the end result.
I mean, the last two finals, it's 8-1. It's 8-1 Golden State over Cleveland. They won one game with the best player in the world. They won one game. And so I just look at that and say, how's that good? Like, now again, look, good for Golden State. Like, they're riding high right now. But even when you had dynasties in other eras, and maybe the Jordan one is the exception, but Jordan never got to a game 7. We make a big deal out of that. They're not even getting to game 5, for crying out loud.
But I'll tell you, the league in Jordan's era in the 90s sucked. Sucked. I hated those finals. I hated that era. There was no drama. So, I mean, look, I guess the league is driven by star power, so it was a good era for the league. Jordan was great for the league, but I didn't think it was a great product. I didn't love it then. So, we continue. DeMarcus Cousins, good or bad for the league? Does it bother you as an NBA fan? But more importantly, should the Celtics have gotten DeMarcus Cousins? I'm a yes. Murray's a yes. Attaboy, Murray. Maz and Stu, very negative. Or a no. Where are you?
That right a boy, Maz.
Right back to your thoughts after Big Jim Murray with the update.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Making sense of Boston sports.
There's no catching and no throwing. Anyone can play, no matter how hopelessly unathletic they are.
Felger and Maz, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
It means that Boogie Cousins might be available. Would you be interested? Would you be interested if the price was the Brooklyn Nets pick in 2016?
Wouldn't give you a bag of donuts for him, Greg. I'm sorry. You know, I think that sometimes what you have are guys who are cancerous. I think he's a player that has tremendous skill set. But if you don't have a lead dog in front of him and he's your best player, I think it's only going to be cancerous for your team. So I don't particularly like him. I'll say that. And the Celtics might turn around and trade for him and get him. But I really am not a big fan because of the way he's acted on and off the court.
Senator Maxwell on NBC Sports Boston a couple years ago. Strong commentary. And we've gone back and just pulled up some of the stuff that was said around that time. Because, again, the Celts have sort of been mentioned with DeMarcus Cousins for a while here the last couple of years. But they're always in terms of a trade. Always in terms of a trade and giving up a Brooklyn pick or an asset like that. And it was always, you know, big money. He was going to be one of your max players. That's not what this is. So the circumstances are changed, but the guy is still the same. In fact, how does the coach feel about it, Jimmy? Play Cedric Maxwell on here on 98.5 The Sports Hub right around the same time.
His talent, to me, is great. He has great talent. But his act wears thin quickly. Brad Stevens was asked about this. Sean Grandy asked him, hey, Brad, would you like to get Boogie Cousins? And Brad Stevens said, no. Nobody wants to coach that kind of guy. This is just not – I've seen guys in the NBA who have been extremely talented, who have put up great numbers, but they don't fit into certain systems unless you have a hierarchy like a LeBron, and I think even a younger LeBron, that controls people. A Kevin Garnett, a younger Kevin Garnett, control and grab a guy like that, grab a young bull. But if he's your lead dog, you're going to have some problems.
If he's your lead dog, you're going to have fleas. That's another thing Max likes to say. But don't you have that strong structure Maz, don't you have Wolford and others?
Well, so look, I think they have a good, you know, for lack of a better word, culture. But who's the leader?
Horford.
Okay, is Horford like the kind of guy that's going to keep Boogie Cousins in line?
And Stevens, I should say.
Okay, and see, I don't think the coach can do it in that league. I just took my two cents. I don't think the coach can. And see, I'm surprised at you, of all people, because you value competitive character. Like so how could you be anti Randy Moss but pro Boogie Cousins?
Okay, it's a good question. I don't know. Maybe I'm not a fan of the sport, so I'm just looking at it from the outside, saying this is a chance to make him better. I don't gotta watch him every night because it's hard for me to watch the NBA every night. So, like, maybe it's one of those things.
Sure,
but I think it's fair, and I think that's a fair thing to bring up. If you are just if the sight of DeMarcus Cousins makes you want to turn the TV off, then I sort of get that. Like,
well, that's how I feel.
You just don't like the guy. You don't want to watch him. And that's sort of the way I felt about Randy Moss. I can't root for this guy. I don't want to watch this guy. And it's sort of like almost personal, but, you know, just like a personal fan thing. Then that I get totally. Except I don't have those things. Like, I'm not a Celtics fan. And, you know, so I look at it from the outside and I say, just cold hard facts, it's the kind of guy they should be taking a chance at. It's someone who could make him better, and there's nothing to lose, and he's not going to be a foundational piece. He's not going to be a lead dog. You're not going to have to overpay him, and he's someone that could level the playing field. So why wouldn't you do it?
Because he's a loser. That's why. Well, how is it that New Orleans got better after he got hurt?
No, I understand.
Right?
I understand.
And this happens over and over with this guy. Everywhere he goes, they lose. He's like a bigger Carmelo. In my mind. In fact, maybe worse, because he's lazy on top of it. Carmelo can be sloppy, and I don't think he's a smart player and all those things, but this guy's lazy. He doesn't care.
Okay, to you guys, as promised, Josh and Whitman. Go ahead, Josh.
Maz, you just nailed it right on the head. You are totally right, my friends. DeMarcus Cousins, really? We're going to give the Celtics flack for not signing DeMarcus Cousins? This Felger is the same guy that bashed the Celtics for signing Jermaine O'Neal, Shaquille O'Neal, Rasheed Wallace, and now he's getting on the Celtics for not signing DeMarcus Cousins coming off an Achilles injury, which is very serious, which he won't be back till January. He's not going to be a factor much on the Warriors. It's an upgrade from JaVale McGee, sure, but, I mean, come on, you're going to get on the Celtics for not signing this guy.
Let me put it to you. First of all, he's better than those other guys. So, I mean, but it's a fair point by you. Shouldn't you be criticizing the Celtics, Josh, for making the call? They're the one who wanted him. They were just late.
No, because I don't believe that they even tried.
You don't?
We just heard about this overnight.
I see.
He signed with the Warriors. The media said that he was going back to the Pelicans or the Lakers.
So you think Adam Himmelsbach made it up?
Yeah, because I think he made it up.
Fine, fair enough. You think Adam Himmelsbach made it up, and you think that this Josh Hines made it up?
Chris Haynes, you mean?
Chris Haynes, whatever.
Yes, I don't believe.
Okay.
I don't believe that. Right. I mean,
they made it up. They made it up. They just came out of nowhere and made it up. So, there's a little pretzel twisting, Celtics fans. If you agree that they shouldn't have gone after DeMarcus Cousins and you're glad they didn't get DeMarcus Cousins, it looks like they tried. It looks like they wanted him. They were just too late. So which is it? You know, you can't have it both ways on that one.
See, that's the part that alarms me as I look at it and say, wait a minute. Like, they've gone out of their way to bring in competitive guys, professional guys. You know, even Horford, right? I say even. Ultimate pro. The ultimate pro. And they've drafted guys who are competitive. Like, they clearly put an emphasis on the character and the makeup. And this guy's got the worst makeup in the league.
Yeah, but they now don't because of the guy they just drafted who had all kinds of red flags and dropped to 27 because he's a lazy, pot-smoking a-hole, and he's proved that in his first 2 days on the job. So
okay.
You're getting whipped up in a bunch of nonsense that doesn't exist.
Okay.
They want the talent.
So Murray, when they drafted the kid, I told you, at that point, take a shot. Fine, you got nothing to lose. If you remember, Felger asked me right after, I said, do you think it'll work? I said, nope, it won't. So look, take a shot, fine, but do I think that kid's panning out? No way. Nope, I don't. And I think we already have evidence as to why.
So at 1 year on an established guy that's like an all-star, why not take a shot? See if it pans out.
Okay, because...
You're biased against the player.
I am. Yep.
All right.
I hate the player. I do. I hate the player. I hate everything he represents. He's the worst kind of athlete to me, which is a waste of talent. That's what he is. That's the worst kind of athlete. Waste of talent.
Billy and Waltham, what do you think?
So, Naz, I agree with you ultimately, but I just listened to you defend friggin' Hanley Ramirez for weeks for the same exact crap you're crucifying Cousins for and why you don't want him on the Celtics. It doesn't make any sense. It's completely inconsistent. If you don't want DeMarcus Cousins on the Celtics because you don't think he'll make them better, then you don't want Hanley Ramirez on the Red Sox because you don't think he'll make them better. They're both.
Okay. So I'm sorry to cut you off because I want to jump in on all these inconsistencies as well. It's a different sport. Different sports. So you know what? I don't feel I'm being that hypocritical. This is basketball. They're all a-holes. This is what you're dealing with. This is not, we're not talking about hockey primarily or football where it's you've got to have work ethic, you've got to have toughness, you've got to be together, you've got to have character and chemistry, and all those things matter in those sports. This is flipping the NBA. This is roll the stupid balls out, and the best players win, no matter if they're dogs or good or bad or smoke pot or make the team plain or don't. You have to admit, it's the one sport. It doesn't matter. It does not matter. So you know what? I'm not being inconsistent. Bring me the a-hole. This is basketball we're talking about.
Yep, the NBA hole. That's what they're going to call it now. It's fantastic.
We continue with your thoughts. Long commercial-free segment is next.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz. Sometimes they're hot on the topic.
Junta.
Magenta?
Junta.
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 Sometimes you have to wonder if there's a gas leak in the building.
Woohoo! Whoop-de-doo!
Felger and Maz, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I think Danny would gamble. I don't think that is the majority view of the organization, including the coach. I don't think Brad Stevens wants to touch DeMarcus Cousins with the 10-foot pole. And that carries a lot of weight there. Not only that, they just signed a center, and they think Al Horford is a center and will play more center as the rotation, as pieces come and go in Boston. And so I don't know what that does to Boston's hunger to acquire a superstar big man who is going to, you know, be a locker room question mark. And yes, they have Isaiah Thomas. By the way, go read Isaiah Thomas's quotes, including in a Q&A with me about DeMarcus Cousins after he left Sacramento. It's not like they're best buddies. Right now, I would lean to Danny Ainge as a maybe. The Celtics overall are a no.
Again, that's older sound, but it's instructive. It's Zach Lowe. I don't know, 2 years ago after they signed Horford. On the addition of DeMarcus Cousins. Second straight cut we've heard, Maz. First was Cedric Maxwell, and here is Zach Lowe. And by the way, I'll just be fair, Brad Stevens has denied it. He denied it in an interview with Beadle and Zoe, but basically where others have said Brad Stevens did not want to coach DeMarcus Cousins. Do you think that still applies, or do you think something might have changed?
No, I think that something has changed. I think they're farther along now and that they think they're closer to a championship. And if they see a piece that they say, well, that guy could make a difference for us, let's roll the dice on him now because, you know, we're in a different place than we were then.
That's you don't like that? So you don't like that evolution?
No, I like the evolution. I don't like the guy. Like, it's the player. I just think they're wrong about the player. And what I find alarming is that it feels like all of a sudden now that they're willing to look at anybody. And I just think there's a line there somewhere. There are some guys you just don't take on. I had a hard time with Rasheed Wallace, for crying out loud. Like, you know, and ultimately, what happened? Game 7 of the finals, he was out of shape and he couldn't get up and down the floor. So, you know, he didn't put the work in either, and that hurt them in the long run. So I don't believe in the player. I don't. I don't believe in Cousins. I don't believe in Dwight Howard. And when the Celtics start doing this is where they lose me. They lose me when they go after this kind of player.
All right, back to your thoughts out there. Ed in Cambridge. Hi, Ed.
Yeah, I have a couple of hot takes for you. One of them is just imagine you're the Celtics rookie, and you've got Angel Al on your left shoulder, and you've got Devil DeMarcus on your right. Okay? I mean, I don't know how you cope, really. The other hot take is, I can't even remember what the other hot take is.
Your comment line says Anthony Davis.
Anthony Davis, that's it. What happened?
What do you mean? What I'm going to let you go because you started not talking to your phone. I don't know what happened. See, this is a the Cousins move is a kind of move that doesn't preclude you from getting Anthony Davis. You don't fire any bullets. You don't fire any bullets. It's a mid-level salary exception. It's not one asset out the door for an a-hole who is, and it's only half a season. Remember, he's coming back from that Achilles thing, so it's not even a full year. Half year, go on a run, stretch out the Golden State Warriors in the finals. That's the kind of guy they should be in on. It's the kind of guy they should be in on.
Yeah, I told you, I want nothing to do with that particular player. There's a lot of guys you could convince me on, but this guy, no, because I think ultimately he's a loser. And you know what? Before this is all over, I bet you it doesn't work out in Golden State.
Richard in Hanson. Hi, Richard. What do you got for us?
Good afternoon. Greg Monroe, they're probably going to lose. There are not enough shots for Marcus Morris. And Boogie is getting all the ink, but the slipped out of Los Angeles and over the Pelicans is Julius Randle. He's been in the league 4 years. He's 6'9", averaging 14 points, 9 rebounds, 3 assists, 50% shooter, and only made $4 million last year. Did Danny miss on him, or did this happen too fast for him to get in on Julius Randle?
Guys, should they have been in on Randle?
So I like Randle, but he doesn't fit what they want to do. I mean, he is like your classic, you know, 15, not even 12 feet an in player who can hit you a face-up jumper from short distance, a mid-range jumper, who plays with his back to the basket or near the basket. He'll make some free throws, but he's not, you know, he's not super big. He's 6'9". Like, you know, I don't mind that kind of player, but he I think he shoots like 20% from three. Like, he's just not their kind of cat.
We've got Bryce in Swampscott. Hi, Bryce. What do you got? You're up next with Felger and Maz.
Hey, boys, I agree with Maz. Cousins is a bum, and I also agree with you, Felga. Basketball is useless. But Cousins reminds me of Albert Haynesworth. They got talent, but they don't care. They have no heart. Give me a guy like Teddy Bruschi or Troy Brown in twice on Sunday. Have a good fourth, boys.
Yeah, just thank you. You too. Don't combine the sports. Because in football, those lack of effort guys really come back to haunt you and hurt you, and it's hard to... You can have one or two in football and get away with it, but anything more than that, man, you're in deep trouble. And in hockey, I don't even know if you can have one or two. If you have one or two of those guys, they can kill you. Basketball? You got to be willing to put up with a lot of it. And to me, if DeMarcus Cousins is as bad as it gets, I get it. It's still that sport. And if he pulls that crap, Maz, you just shut him down.
Sure.
You send him home.
Yeah, look, what you're saying is logical. I'm just telling you, if I'm going to end up there anyway, why do it? Like, with a guy, because I think with a guy like him, it's inevitable. I think that's where you're going to end up. He has never won. He's never won anywhere he's gone. And again, New Orleans got better last year after he got hurt.
Yeah, maybe one seed. I mean, they were right around where they ended up when he got injured.
They went, but then they swept the first round over Portland. They went 23-8 after he got hurt. Or their final 31 games, they were 23-8.
Yeah, but they were still a playoff team when he was there.
Okay, they played better without him. They were better without him, Murray. Like, okay. I don't
also
even...
Also, a different situation. I mean, you understand, you're putting him into, quote-unquote, the perfect situation. Quote-unquote, with the coaching, the system, the veteran leadership, an organization that doesn't put the players first, et cetera, et cetera. You're putting him in that in a Patriot sort of environment. You understand that.
In
the
Golden
Pelicans
State,
don't have that.
Yeah. Yeah, look, I'm telling you, I think it's going to fail at Golden State. I do. I think it's going to fail with this guy. I think he's a loser. I think he's a losing player. He loses. That's what he does well. He loses.
Josh in Sudbury. Go ahead, Josh.
Hey, what's going on, fellas? So the Pelicans were not better without Cousins. Maybe they played really well down the stretch, but I think a lot of us would argue if they had Cousins in the playoffs against the Warriors, that would have been a more formidable team. Maz, you say he's a waste of talent, but his career 25-10, had 25-12-5 last year. I don't consider that a waste of talent.
Let me stop you there because your phone is average. How do you explain all of DeMarcus Cousins' production?
I don't care about the numbers. Who cares about the numbers? It's about winning. Great players in that league win. I can rattle off a million NBA players who put up good numbers who suck, but they score a lot. Big deal. Like, someone's going to get the numbers. I mean, they take 200 shots a game, you know, 100 on each end, or whatever it is. Like, someone's going to get numbers. See, he's got talent. He has ability. He doesn't care.
Let me introduce one more NBA thought here, courtesy of a story given to me by Jimmy Stewart in the last hour in the Chicago Sun-Times. Headlined, Jimmy Butler, again, Chicago Sun-Times, Jimmy Butler and Kyrie Irving could have plans to try and take over the East. They write in the Chicago Sun-Times, the one-man nemesis for the Bulls has now left the Eastern Conference, obviously. They're talking about LeBron James. The Bull Slayer is now a Laker, taking his talents to Hollywood. But the idea that the Eastern Conference is somehow there for the taking, especially as far as the Bulls are concerned, that's laughable. They say this is Boston's dance, and the rest of the conference is just spectating. However, a league source close to the situation told the Sun-Times on Tuesday that Kyrie Irving and former Bulls All-Star Jimmy Butler are still trying to figure out a way to play together. Whether that means the Celtics try and acquire Butler this summer, or the two simply wait a year, opt out of their player options after the season, and join forces that way. Either way, the two former Team USA basketball teammates are looking for a destination to build an elite backcourt, whether that's in Celtics Green or elsewhere in the East. Jimmy Stewart, what were your thoughts of this story when you first read it and sent it to me?
I didn't believe it because I think Jimmy Butler is going to get traded to the Lakers. But it's a story for the show. Sorry.
Okay, yeah, I know. That doesn't do us any good.
Yeah, I know.
So you think the story is complete crap?
Yes, I do. But if you want to have fun with it, they're both free agents next year. The New York Knicks have $50 million in cap space. Maybe if the story's true, Kyrie Irving, Jimmy Butler, Porzingis to the Knicks next offseason.
So I'm alarmed by it. I mean, and when I say alarmed, I mean, I'm not running around the streets like my hair's on fire, but I look at it. I look
again,
at
it. Singular, not plural.
Well, exactly right. The singular hair sticking out of the top of my head. what's his name? Never mind. I look at it and say, what if there's truth in it? What if Kyrie and Butler are buddies? They're boys, and they want to try to set something up together. Is this more evidence that Kyrie's skipping town and ended up with this guy at the end of the day?
Well, I guess my takeaway is, it's a little annoying that the Kyrie stuff, you know, keeps coming up. That it's like he's still floated out there, whether he's doing that or someone's doing that, or he's still thought of in those terms that he is, you know, lumped in with these one-and-done guys who are going into free agency next year. Like, because that's how he's being portrayed around the league. That's not how we treat it. I mean, we tend to think he's here. But the way he's being portrayed around the league is like he's, you know, he's on par with Jimmy Butler and Karl Anthony Towns and these guys with 1 year in opt-outs. That's the way he's being covered.
Yeah, I told you, to me, that's the first thing that popped into my head was, here we go with Kyrie again. Like, so I worry that there's some element of Kyrie that's trying to pull something like this off. You know, Jimmy's saying that Butler's going to end up getting traded to the Lakers. Well, that'll be interesting. I mean, because if Butler's buddies with Kyrie, then what's his opinion of LeBron?
Yeah, exactly. Like,
is he going to want to stay there for any length of time? And just as an aside, it's apparent to me that the kind of guys that the Lakers may want here, Kawhi Leonard, Lance Stephenson, Jimmy Butler, they're all like, you know, when Stevenson's crazy, but they can be fiercely competitive guys who can play defense. And so maybe LeBron's trying to peddle this whole idea of, if we're going to be Golden State, we got to play better defense than we did in Cleveland. I don't know. I like Butler. If they were to bring him here, sure, fine, depending on what the cost is. I don't know if I'm going to, you know, bring in Tatum, give up Tatum or give up Brown. I'd be reluctant to do either one of those things. I'd rather wait it out. And if you can bring him in to replace Horford, then do that. Use the money that way. But, you know, the fear is that Kyrie is going to leave with Butler and go somewhere else.
But the story, you know, really implies whether it's here or somewhere else. And they, you know, they really make a point of saying that. Again, a league source told the Sun-Times on Tuesday that Kyrie Irving and former Bulls All-Star Jimmy Butler are still trying to figure out a way to play together. Whether that means the Celtics try and acquire Butler this summer or the two simply wait a year and opt out and join forces that way, they're still looking to get together. So add that to the list. We'll follow up on the Cousins stuff. Your thoughts on Kyrie being listed in another story as being a free agent next year. Your thoughts right after Murray's 90-second update. No commercials. Go nowhere.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.